The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Woman, said the German philosopher, was God's second mistake. And therefore, the implication should be clear. If the good Lord himself could be mistaken about women, what chance have we mere mortal men? But it was the Irish poet who said it more gracefully. My only books were woman's looks and follies, all they taught me. For the next hour, our subject is woman and equal parts, folly and wisdom.
Rachel, Rachel, wake up, Rachel.
I must have been asleep.
Rachel.
Whose voice is that?
Rachel. Have you forgotten me already?
Isaac!
Yes.
But they killed you. I saw them kill you.
I've come back to you.
Then it's a mistake. You didn't die.
No, it wasn't a mistake. I died. I did die.
Mystery drama, Queen of the Deadly Night, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Marion Seldes. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contac, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radials. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
Do you realize you're slowly becoming part of the fastest-growing minority in this country?
What?
Would you mind standing up for a minute?
Huh? Hey, where are you going with my rocker?
Are you willing to take old age sitting down?
Sitting?
You are going to be old someday.
All right. But you didn't have to take my rocker to prove your point, did you?
You have to get off your rocker to stand up. Stand up, or be prepared to just sit back and rock your life away.
Oh, I see what you mean.
This message has been brought to you by this station, the Advertising Council and the National Council on the Aging.
Thank you.
We've got a good thing going. We've got a good thing going.
We'd like a chance to show you exactly why Western's the only way to fly.
Western Airlines has just put California on sale with big savings for you. Save 20% off your airfare to San Francisco or Los Angeles by flying Western's night coach. Daytimes you can save 20% too with Freedom Fares, which are subject to certain restrictions. And you can save 10% with Economy Fares. See your travel agent or call Western for details. Then take advantage of Western's sale prices to California.
Western Airlines, we've got a
is 900. We are deep in the Dark Ages. It has been 500 years since the civilization of the Roman Empire has been blotted out. It will be 500 more till the world will awaken to the light of the Renaissance. The year 900. A bad time to be weak or poor or a woman, especially a woman. And our tale concerns a woman. Her name was Rachel. She lived in Clairvaux, a tiny village near Paris, which wasn't much bigger than a village itself in those days. She was, of all things, a writer. She compiled stories and legends of those faraway, long-ago medieval times. And like all good writers, she made herself the central character of all of them.
I am Rachel, daughter of Asher Ben Zvi of Clairvaux, in the land of the Franks. I have traveled the face of this earth, and I am a very old woman now. And I have come back here to be buried with my ancestors. I have been a slave, and I have been a queen. And I have found good points in each. I've been away for many years. No one even remembers why I left. I'm not even sure they know who I am. But the rabbi and his wife shelter me out of the goodness of their hearts. Poor folk, they have little enough as it is. And yet, it could have been so different. So different. I write this chronicle to show how different the world could have been. And so, I shall go back many years to when I was a young girl in my father's house here in Clairvaux.
Rachel?
Yes, Father?
Isaac is here.
Isaac here? No. But doesn't he know it's bad luck to see one's bride before the ceremony on the wedding day?
You'd better talk with him, my dear.
Something's wrong.
Well...
What is it?
Oh, nothing, I hope. That is, I hope it's nothing more than the natural feeling of apprehension that so many young men feel on their wedding day.
Father, something's the matter.
I just thought I'd come in here to prepare you for... Well, you'll just have to be patient with him. Isaac, please come in here. Now remember, child, he needs understanding.
Isaac?
Hello, Rachel.
I know that you both will excuse me.
What is it, Isaac?
I don't think we should get married.
What are you... Are you trying to say you don't love me?
No. I love you.
Well, then...
Rachel, have we the right to marry? To bring children into the world? Well, this world?
Isaac, this is the only world there is.
You know how difficult, how dangerous life is for us.
Yes?
If only we could fight back.
We're too few. We're weak.
I know. It's only... Oh, Rachel. I was not born to be a scholar like my father, or a doctor like your father, or a craftsman. I have no skill with copper or silver or gold. I was meant to be a soldier.
A soldier?
Yes, I have skill with the sword and the bow.
But you cannot be a soldier. The law even forbids you to carry arms.
I know.
You must submit to whatever the Lord has in store for you.
Yes. But why did the Lord give me such an appetite for fighting and no way to satisfy it?
Well, suppose you were permitted to become a soldier. You speak of how uncertain life is now. Imagine how almost everybody in the army dies in the wars.
At least you die fighting.
Well, is that so important?
Yes, it is, to me.
Well, I still want us to be married, Isaac.
Then, Rachel, we shall be married tonight.
I still want us to be married, Isaac. With those words, I condemned him to death. I pronounced the sentence of doom on my beloved. And I changed the course of my entire life. Had I not insisted on marriage, I might never have left the village of Clairvaux. Well, there's no point in thinking about that. After Isaac had left, my father came back into the room.
And what have you decided, my child?
We will be married. But, Father, is it the wise course?
It is the only course. Our mission is to survive.
Father, I'm afraid. Afraid for Isaac. He has a quick temper.
It's true. He refuses to be humble.
And it's because he has too much strength.
Oh, no, child. He hasn't strength enough. Anyone can strike out in anger.
Oh, Father, if only...
Yes?
I was about to say something silly. I was going to say, if only there was a land where our people could walk tall and straight.
No one walks tall and straight anywhere, except for a few nobles.
Father, who are the Khazars?
Why?
Well, I read of them in one of your books.
It is a kingdom, a Jewish kingdom.
Where?
No one can be sure. Some say Persia, some say Turkey.
A kingdom, a realm.
Well, perhaps it's only a fable.
But think how wonderful it would be, Father.
Rachel, in the first place, there is no way of getting there. In the second, it probably doesn't even exist. And now you must help your mother prepare food for the wedding feast.
Oh, yes, the wedding feast. I don't like to think about it, but if I'm going to tell my story, I must tell everything. All of us, everyone in our tiny community, had gathered in the courtyard of my father's house. Torches made the scene as bright as day. And Isaac and I were married under the stars. And there was much happiness and laughter and drinking of wine. When suddenly there was the thunder of approaching hooves. And the lord of the castle, Count Ranulf himself, at the head of the troop of his horsemen, came upon the scene. Became quiet. So quiet, it could have been the stillness of death. Finally, my father stepped forward.
Greetings to your highness, Count Ranulf.
I see you heathen dogs are feasting. What is the occasion? Ah, a wedding. Why was I not informed?
Well, your highness...
No, this will not do. It will not do at all. And the bride, I see the bride. A rather good-looking girl at that.
Your Highness, members of our community are permitted to marry if we secure the authorization of the bishop.
Bother the bishop!
We have not violated any of the restrictions that are placed upon
our... To think I almost missed this. A cup of wine, dog?
Oh, yes, yes, your highness.
And I was wondering how I should spend the evening. I shall have a most enjoyable night. Ludwig, a horse for the bride.
But your highness, what where are we?
Where? To the castle, of course, where you shall spend the most pleasurable wedding night with me.
No.
You mean you refuse the honor?
Please, your highness, we have rights granted by the king.
Swine! How dare you? Are you unaware of the droit de seigneur? I have the right to spend the wedding night with every commoner girl who marries in my domain. Ludwig, put her on a horse.
No, never.
Only your youth prevents my mace from splitting your skull.
Would you talk to me this way if I had a sword in my hand? Coward!
And if you had a sword in your hand, dog, what would you do with it?
I would spill your heart's blood.
Oh. I like this one. Ludwig, he belongs to me. To me and no one else. Give him your sword.
Oh, Isaac, no, please, don't. Don't. Your Highness, I will go with you.
You shall go with me in any event. Well, now, Isaac, is that how they call you? You have your sword? Shall we fight?
To the death.
Oh, to the death!
Before I knew what was happening, the fight was on. At first, I thought Isaac would be cut to pieces immediately. But somehow, he had learned swordplay, and he was holding his own. And then, a miracle. He was beginning to press the Count. And on Count Ranulf's face, I could see fear as Isaac was slowly but surely overcoming his defenses. I knew that this cruel and arrogant man would never let Isaac get the better of him, even if he had to call for help.
To the death, Carl Ronald! To the death! Ludwig! Carolus, kill him! Kill the dog!
No! No! And the Count's retainer fell upon Isaac. It was a terrible sight to see. I remember I fainted. I didn't know anything until I regained consciousness. I was lying on a couch in a large room. There were tapestries on the wall. And I knew I was in the castle.
I see you are awake at last.
Oh, please, I... Oh,
but... What's to be frightened about? You'll be all right.
Who are you?
Hedwiga, I'm supposed to prepare you for your lordship's bedchamber.
No!
Nothing will probably happen.
What are you saying?
Well, you know the state he was in. Furious. Your young man would have killed him in hand-to-hand combat.
Isaac. Isaac is dead.
The Count had to call for help. At that, it needed 5 of his men-at-arms to do it.
Oh, Isaac. I must go to him.
Go to him? He's dead, isn't he? Now I have to take you inside to my lord and master's bedchamber.
No, no.
You can't keep saying no. It isn't ladylike. Now listen. If I know Count Ranulf, he's so drunk by now he's going to be fast asleep, dead to the world. So you just go in there.
No! Kill myself first.
Oh, there's no need to kill yourself. Aren't you listening to what I'm saying? He's out cold. Now tomorrow morning, before he wakes up, you walk out. And I'll see that the guards will let you through.
But I...
He won't remember that nothing happened. He won't remember a thing. Just keep your head. Now, come. Come in. You see, there he is, sprawled on his couch. Listen to him. There, behold the great lover. Dead to the world. He can sleep like this for days. You're going to have a very dull night.
Where are you going? Don't leave me, please.
I'll have to lock you in. But I'll open the door at dawn to let you out.
Oh, don't go. Please, don't go.
A shame you didn't bring anything to knit.
Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me.
Le droit de seigneur, the right of the lord of the manor. This is how it was under feudalism. And so, here is our terrified Rachel, who only a few short hours ago was a single girl, and in rapid succession has become a wife and a widow. She's locked in the room of the Count Ranulf, whose intentions are perfectly clear, provided he sobers up. I'll be back shortly.
There's a bit of fat in almost every family budget. Eliminate it, and you can make ends meet a lot easier. Takes some doing, but that's what the current Family Circle magazine's Guide to Money is all about. It shows how to set up a realistic budget, how to save on utilities and insurance. You learn that comparative shopping for a bank can pay off, and that you may be shelling out more in taxes than necessary. The guide also helps you plan for the future with useful information on Social Security and retirement programs. In another economy move, Family Circle has arranged with various food manufacturers to make their recipe booklets available for free. Listed are 50 of the best, including everything from microwave to mushroom cooking. And as a special bonus, there's an iron-on transfer bound right into this January Family Circle, so you can make that fun King Kong t-shirt modeled on the cover. The issue is now at your supermarket checkout counter. This is Jack Sterling for Family Circle, the world's largest selling woman's magazine.
Hi, everybody. I'm Wayne Cody with Husky Flashback, brought to you by Fidelity Mutual Savings Bank. Slippery Joe, that's what they called guard Joe Cipriano, when he led the Huskies to 3 Pacific Coast titles in the early 50s. After playing for Seattle's Buchan Bakers in Europe and the Orient, Joe coached the Husky Frosh under Tippy Dye. For the past 14 years, Joe's been head coach of the University of Nebraska, winning 184 games, losing 149. The winningest coach in Nebraska history. Husky Flashback, looking at Slippery Joe Cipriano.
Sometimes you have to put on a full court press to save money, especially for Christmas. Fidelity Mutual Savings Bank wants to help with the Fidelity Bank Christmas Savings Plan. Open a Christmas savings account at Fidelity Bank. Next November, you'll get your money plus interest, 5.25% per annum. Start right now, and we'll give you free a Christmas cookbook from Fidelity Mutual Savings Bank, the bank with a rose. Member FDIC.
We've had a rapid series of events. We've been listening to the story of a medieval writer, a woman who lived in France in the 10th century. On her wedding night, the lord of the manor killed her bridegroom and took her to his castle, where she now awaits his pleasure. That was a pretty usual state of affairs during the 10th century, in most places.
I was terrified. Even in his drunken sleep, his face was arrogant, cruel, a face without mercy, a man incapable of kindness. I thought about what had happened within the space of just a few hours. Isaac, my bridegroom, dead at the hands of this devil in human form. And I, not just bereaved, but disgraced. And then suddenly, my fear vanished. In its place, I felt a cold resolve. I would kill myself. It was the only way out. I would kill myself. His dagger was lying on a bench near the bed, a dagger with a jeweled hilt. And silently, I removed it from its silver scabbard. Thin, sharp, deadly, gleaming steel. It would be the work of a moment to plunge it into my heart.
Rachel.
Who is that?
My dearest Rachel. Have you forgotten me so soon?
Isaac.
Yes, Isaac.
My husband.
Your husband. Your murdered, martyred husband.
Isaac, it's you. And you're alive.
No, I'm dead.
And why do I hear you so clearly? No. You're alive. I hear you. Oh, why can't I see you?
I'm dead, Rachel. Dead. Avenge me.
Avenge you?
Oh, Rachel. Be like Judith in the tent of Holofernes.
Yes. I shall kill him, and then I shall kill myself.
No. Fly from here.
Where could I go?
To the land of the Khazars. A people like us. But a warrior people.
Warrior people? But our people haven't been warriors since the days of King David.
The Khazars are warriors. It is said they have descended from the 10 lost tribes.
But what will I do there?
You shall rule.
Me? What do I know about...
You shall be a queen.
I'm dreaming. I'm having a nightmare.
No. You are awake. Listen to me. Go. Go to the land of the Khazars.
I don't even know where it is.
To the east, somewhere.
How can I find it?
If it is the will of God, he will show you the way.
Oh, such a journey. And the lands are filled with bandits and thieves.
God will protect you.
No, I'm frightened.
Had I lived, you would have gone with me.
Oh, Isaac, let me die. And I will come to you.
What are you saying? To take one's own life is a terrible sin.
But my life is of no use to me now.
You have a destiny. You are to become queen of the Khazars.
Me? Queen?
Why not you?
But I have no desire to...
Find the land of the Khazars and make it a place where all of our people may take refuge. It's your destiny. But first, you must kill him. Avenge me. It takes only a moment, and it is done. See? Just below the chest, and to the left, slightly to the left. I will guide you, my beloved. I will guide you.
No, not while he sleeps.
Were he awake, you could never kill him.
Oh, Isaac. You must help me.
Yes. I shall help you. Hold the dagger tightly, And now, raise it high, and with all your strength, down! Cover him. Cover him with the blankets. Yes. Who would know he is dead?
How quickly a man dies.
How quickly I died. Goodbye, Rachel.
No, no, stay. Stay with me.
I cannot stay with you, Rachel. I'm dead.
Come back, Isaac. Come back. Speak to me. Isaac. 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 Come back.
Wake up. Come, girl, wake up.
Isaac. Oh,
there's no point bellowing after Isaac. He's dead and gone.
Isaac. Oh.
Have you been lying on the floor all night? Is this how you slept? On this cold stone floor?
Oh, it was a dream. Isaac was a dream.
Oh, get up. On your feet, girl. It's time you were leaving. Like I told you, nothing would happen, didn't I? Well, didn't I?
Yeah, you told me.
Say, that's funny. I never heard him like this before.
Like what?
Oh, how quiet. He usually snores like a drunken pig, which he is. But he's lying there, still as a corpse. Maybe he's sick. I better not do anything. He hates to have people wake him. He might even plunge a knife into me. Come.
Where are you taking me?
I told you last night you can go home.
Home? But I'm in disgrace.
What kind of disgrace? You're not the only one. Besides, you're a woman.
I killed him, Father. I killed
him. Quiet, quiet. It would not be well for this to be known.
I heard Isaac's voice.
You must hide in my brother's house in Marseille.
But I promised Isaac that I would search for the kingdom of the Khazars.
There is no such place. It's only a fable. There are no such people.
But, Father...
You must obey me. You will go to the house of my brother Benjamin in Marseille.
Marseille, the city of Greek sailors in the country of the Franks. I would go, for Marseille was on the sea, and there I could take a ship and search for the land of the Khazars. The journey to Marseille, as all journeys are, was long and difficult and perilous, but I wore the clothes of a young man, a poor young man at that. I was so small and so slight, so humble and unimportant looking that nobody noticed me. After some weeks, I arrived at the home of my uncle Benjamin.
Well, my child, your fame has preceded you.
Fame?
You killed the mighty Count Renulf.
Then it wasn't a dream.
Oh, no, indeed. You must keep hidden, of course, till this all blows over.
But I'll bring danger to your house, Uncle Benjamin.
We have so much now, a little more won't matter. You must keep wearing that boy's costume. It's a good disguise. And it's best all round for you to be mistaken for a young man.
But Uncle Benjamin, I know how hard the times are. I don't want to be another mouth for you to feed.
Oh, there's enough and to spare. I am very much in demand here. We are really quite comfortable.
In what do you trade, Uncle Benjamin?
Maps, charts.
Maps? Of what?
My girl, this is a city of sailors. They come, they go. Their ships move in and out of the harbor like flights of wandering swallows. They need maps to show them the waterways.
Where is the land of the Khazars?
And why would you want to know that?
Because it's my destiny to go there.
Your destiny?
To become queen of the Khazars.
And how was this destiny revealed?
My dead husband appeared to me and spoke to me and said I was to become queen of the Khazars. My father, of course, dismisses it as a fable.
But you are an honorable child. If you say a thing, why should any deny it?
Tell me, where is the land of the Khazars?
I don't know, but I will ask.
Who?
The sailors who come into my shop. Surely one of them will have heard of it. Meanwhile, you have work to do.
Work?
Yes, work. If you are to be queen, you must prepare yourself.
How?
You are just a girl from the country. You must acquire wisdom so that you will be a good ruler.
But how may I acquire wisdom?
By reading books. We have many books in this house.
Oh, Uncle Benjamin, I simply can't stay here and just read.
And while you are reading, I shall be making inquiries.
I became lost in my books. The more I learned, the more I discovered how little I knew and how much I must study. A year went by, 2 years, perhaps even three or four, I can't remember. As I say, I was lost in the books. And then one day, while sitting quietly and reading, I heard my uncle's voice.
Child! Child! Come out here!
Yes, Uncle?
Sit. Sit. Olaf, this is my nephew. Child, this is Olaf, the Viking.
You wish to know about the land of the Khazars?
Yes.
A wild and dangerous country. A fierce and warlike people.
And how could I get there?
If you will look at the map, there is this place that lies between the lands of the Persians and the Turks. Wild country. This, they say, is the land of the Khazars. But why should anyone want to go there?
Why? I've taken a vow.
Oh. Well, then I can only wish you good fortune. Benjamin, I shall leave this map for your nephew.
Oh, yes.
And you may put it down on my account. A pity, young man, a great pity.
Why do you say that?
Well, they're a strange people, and yet they are suspicious of strangers. It would be better if you were a woman.
Why? Why would it be better?
As I have said, they do not welcome strangers. But they do have great respect for women.
Oh?
Especially for women who have wisdom.
Wise women?
Yes, yes, because only women have time to acquire wisdom. The men are too busy fighting or trading. And so when a king, or any man for that matter, wants to take a wife, he does not look for beauty as we do, but for wisdom.
There you go. Destiny. Destiny. It seems to be leading the way to its own fulfillment. So far, everything our Rachel has done has taken her a step further along the road. But the perilous journey is still ahead. What shall await her once she arrives there? Well, I shall arrive with the third act in just a few moments.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries six people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean, it's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be, except for one thing. It isn't yours yet. But it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive. Soon.
Dedicated to the free spirit. Just about everyone.
Here in my hand is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Think about that the next time you're sick. Sneezing, dripping, all clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact. Real medicine for real cold.
Take only as direct.
Leasing a car is not for everybody. True. For some people, leasing is more costly than owning. But a lot of people can actually save money by leasing a car. And Frederick Cadillac can show you whether or not leasing is the proper way for you. And if it's not, we'll tell you that too. After all, you are important to us. Respectfully, Frederick Cadillac at Pike and Summit.
2 years ago, the Los Angeles Rams played the Minnesota Vikings to decide who would be the representative for the National Football Conference in the Super Bowl. The Vikings won. This year, they met again during the regular season. The result after four quarters and one overtime period, the Vikings 10, the Rams 10. This Sunday, they meet again. Once more, the Super Bowl is at stake. Will history repeat itself? Listen to all the action beginning at 10 a.m. right here on Cairo News Radio 7. News and much, much more.
Listening to a story being told by a medieval writer, Rachel of Clairvaux. It is by now an old legend about this fabulous woman who was born at least 1,000 years before her time. It is the story of an incredible journey, and the boat is about to sail.
For the first time, I believed it. I believed I did have a destiny. I was meant to go to the land of the Khazars and to become queen, to make that land a haven for my people, my oppressed people. Olaf the Viking left the map with my uncle, and then the two of us put our heads together. How was I to get there? But the map shows us exactly where the place is, Uncle.
Yes, I see. But the journey...
The journey?
The sea is full of pirates. You shall be captured and sold as a slave.
If it is the will of the Lord I fulfill my destiny, then I shall arrive safely.
I will find you a ship.
And he did. The captain was an old friend, and Uncle Benjamin persuaded him to take me on... as a cabin boy. For although it would be best to be a woman when I arrived at my destination, it would be better if I were a boy before I arrived there. My ship sailed. She was bound for the Greek city of Constantinople, and those waters were thick with pirates, pirates from every known nationality. But somehow, we seemed to have a charmed life. We outsailed most of the pirates who pursued us. And finally, after many weeks, we arrived at our destination. Then I took the trail overland, for I had many miles to travel. And yet, though it was the wildest of all countries, I had no fear. I knew it was the Lord's will for me to come to my destiny. One morning, I was weary, I was hungry. I passed by a field where some men were tending their sheep. I could hear their voices, and the words they spoke had a familiar sound. It was Hebrew, the Hebrew of the Old Testament. I was here. I had arrived at the land of the Khazars. And soon I was in a town, and there was a splendid house, and I knocked at the door because I needed food and shelter and a place where I could dress to become a woman again.
Yes?
I ask hospitality.
Oh. Enter, young man.
Thank you.
From where do you come?
A far country, the land of the Franks.
Oh, I've never heard of it. How does it happen you speak our language?
Oh, I am one of you.
My name is Bathsheba, young man. What are you called?
Rachel.
Rachel? But that's a woman's name.
I am a woman. Where may I bathe and dress?
Oh, I never would have believed it. Why have you come here?
Bathsheba, I look into your eyes and I see you are a good person.
Oh, I try to be.
And I need a friend. Will you be my friend?
Yes.
I need someone to talk to. It's been so long since I could pour my heart out to someone.
Oh, I understand.
May I... confide in you.
Of course.
I am here to fulfill my destiny.
Your destiny?
I am to become queen of the Khazars.
Oh, well then you've arrived in a good time. Even now the king is looking for a wife.
Then it's true.
What Isaac told me is true. I am to be queen.
Now, the queen must be the wisest woman in the kingdom. Are you wise?
Well, the Lord will give me whatever wisdom is necessary at the proper time.
Well, the king has proclaimed that he will marry the woman who can answer three questions.
Well, I'll know the answers when the time comes. What are the questions?
No one has appeared, and so the king has not yet asked.
Well, I shall go to the court at once.
Oh, one moment.
Why? Why should I delay?
Uriel? Azriel? Come in here at once. Lock her in the cellar.
Why? What are you doing? Two tall, strong men seized me and carried me to a room deep under the ground. They locked the door and left me. And do you wish to know what was happening while I sat there, trembling? Very well, I will tell you. Bathsheba, my false friend, presented herself before the king.
Your Majesty, I have come to answer the three questions.
And what is your name?
I am Bathsheba, widow of Nathaniel.
Very well, Bathsheba. You're good to look upon. And if you are wise, you shall become our queen. The first question, how far is it from the sun to the earth? Can you give a truthful answer?
How far is it from the sun to the earth? Oh, Your Majesty, this is a difficult question. May I retire to make the proper calculations?
You have our permission.
Well, speak. How far is it from the sun to the earth?
I won't tell you.
Then you shall die here of hunger and thirst. Well?
Just a little water. Just a few drops, please.
Water, wine, cool, refreshing, all you want. Just answer the question. Give me the answer. Would you rather perish? The answer.
Will you let me drink?
Will you tell me the answer?
Yes, yes.
It is exactly as far from the sun to the earth as it is from the earth to the sun.
That must be accepted as a truth. It cannot be denied. Very well, Bathsheba. You are one-third the queen. Now for the second question.
Listen. What is it that in the morning crawls about on four legs, at noon walks erect on two, and at dusk creeps about on three?
I don't know.
You know. You know.
I don't know. I tell you, I just don't know.
Then stay here in this cellar. Starve. Die here in this cellar.
My head was spinning. Had I come this far only to be defeated here by a false friend? Was I to lose everything? Was I to miss my destiny? I resisted telling her the answer for as long as I could. It was a simple question for one who had read books. It was actually the ancient Greek riddle of the Sphinx. But I decided to die rather than tell her. But I was just too hungry, too thirsty. One morning I just... At the sight of food, I found myself talking and telling her.
What is it then that in the morning crawls about on four legs, at noon walks erect on two, and at dusk creeps about on three?
The answer, O king, is man.
Man?
Yes, man. In the morning, or the beginning of life, as an infant, a man crawls about on all fours. At noon, which is the prime of life and the time of strength, he walks strongly and proudly on his own two feet. And at dusk, which is the twilight of life, weak, decrepit, unable to hold himself erect, he hobbles painfully with a staff.
You are two-thirds my queen. And now for the final question. Are you ready, Bathsheba?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Can you tell me what I am thinking?
What are you thinking now?
What am I thinking now?
Oh, well, I...
Is the question so difficult for one of your great wisdom?
Oh, yes. Yes, Your Majesty. I must retire to study the matter.
You have our permission to retire.
once again she came to me to ask me the question. And this time I said, I don't care. Kill me, starve me, do as you like. I cannot tell you the answer.
We shall see.
My dearest Rachel.
Oh, Isaac. Is that you?
Stop feeling sorry for yourself. I died fighting. Can't you fight?
How can I fight? All I can do is just starve to death.
No. You can fight this woman. This evil woman.
How? Tell me how.
Instead of weeping, why not open your heart and pray and ask for guidance?
I have no more patience. Give the answer now, or I will have my servants kill you on the spot. Speak.
How can I speak? How can I tell what the king is thinking? Unless, of course, I can watch his face and hear the tone in his voice as he asks the question.
That's impossible.
It could be done.
How?
Let me dress in your robes and cover my face with your veil. Then I could go to the palace and...
Do you take me for a fool? Do you think I can be trapped so easily? Once I let you go, you would never come back.
I promise I shall not try to escape.
Why should I believe you?
Because I am a religious woman. I cannot lie. I promise I shall not try to escape.
Very well. We shall exchange clothes. Go in my place.
Bathsheba, you are ready to answer the third and last question. Can you tell me what I am thinking?
Of course. Your Majesty is thinking that I am Bathsheba, widow of Nathaniel, when in reality I am Rachel, daughter of Asher ben Zvi, from the land of the Franks.
What?
It is true, Your Majesty.
Remove your veil. Do any in this room know the woman Bathsheba?
She's not Bathsheba!
Silence, silence!
And now, may I withdraw?
Withdraw? Why?
Because I promised Bathsheba I would return. You see, she has held me prisoner in her cellar and made me furnish the answers to your questions. But to answer the final one, I had to come here. And I have given her my word to return.
You were the one who really answered the other two questions?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Then, you are the queen.
And so, I became queen of the Khazars, queen of a fierce and warlike people. I had hoped to find here a haven for all the oppressed of Europe, but it was not to be. The kingdom of the Khazars disappeared one day in flames and death, as all kingdoms do. And I, the queen, became once again a homeless wanderer on the face of the earth.
Don't say we never give you a happy ending. After all, we've told you about a lone, defenseless woman who lived during one of the most hazardous periods in history. And we've given her full share of happiness, adventure, love, some sorrow, true, but ripe, contented old age. Could you ask for more? I shall return shortly.
Just in time for Christmas, True Value Hardware Stores offer an expensive-looking watch at an inexpensive price. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you about the Time Band Ladies Watch from Fairchild, the first low-priced digital watch that doesn't look inexpensive. It's stylishly slim, elegantly contoured, and has a dependable five-function performance of expensive electronic digitals. It shows hours, minutes, month, day, and seconds on command. Has a quartz crystal that makes it capable of accuracy to within 1 minute a year. A calendar that automatically adjusts to the proper number of days in each month. so you only have to adjust it on leap year. And the time band ladies watch from your True Value hardware store is entirely solid state, so there are no moving parts to wear out, oil, or maintain. Get the expensive-looking Fairchild time band ladies watch for as low as $29.95 at participating True Value hardware stores. Remember True Value, more than just a name, their way of doing business.
Women, for centuries confined, restricted, exploited. And now, in our time, the bonds are breaking. Now women are rising. And what it signifies, we cannot say. After all, those who live through a revolution don't know it's a revolution till it's all over. What are women going to do? It's a proper question for us to raise. After all, we are the Mystery Theater. Our cast included Marion Seldes, Arnold Moss, Bryna Rayburn, Bob Caliban, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Finally, the lady called out, "Please, don't start anything." And then, the gentleman and the lady got into his car. Well, then this morning I saw the dead man's picture in the paper, so I thought...
The lady and the gentleman, you don't know their names?
No. No. I'm not even sure they live in that building. They could just be visiting. But I remember the car. Oh, it's a real nice-looking foreign sports kind of car. And the license, I noticed the license, because it's so short and simple. UL-58.
UL-58.
Yeah.
Just a minute. I want to run a license number. Get me the motor vehicle computer. Yeah. I want UL-58. Yes. Ronald K. Fairchild.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The other day, we overheard two computers talking.
How's it programming, Hal?
My calculations have been a bit off lately.
I see what you mean. You should see my brother, Tex, at Calculator City. That's short for Texas Instruments 5040.
What's Tex got that I haven't got?
You kidding? Texas Instruments 5040 is probably the finest electronic adding machine made. He has easy-to-read, tape and digital display, and four-function memory. He never forgets anything.
He must cost a fortune.
He's normally only $149.95, but for Christmas at Calculator City, he's only $131.56. And cousin, Texas Instrument 5100, the desktop model without tape printout, is only $61.56. Save over $8 at Calculator City in Bellevue's Briarwood Center, between Northeast 8th and the Bellevue Redmond Road on 120th and on the Ave in the University District.
Calculator City in two locations. I feel better already. Better already. Already. Already.
KIRO. Seattle. The News Authority.
CBS News. Experts say it's still too early to tell just how great the environmental impact will be from that massive oil spill off Nantucket, Massachusetts. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Federal officials say at this point they can do nothing about cleaning up the 7.5 million gallons of heavy industrial oil dumped when the grounded freighter broke up. Georgia's Bank, one of the world's richest fishing areas, is threatened by the 100-mile slick. One expert said the winter spawning of haddock, cod, and flounder is certain to be affected. The humpback whale and gray seal, both endangered species, normally moving through the area at this time of the year, face further population decreases. Waterfowl, particularly birds that feed from the ocean surface in winter, could be killed in droves. But much depends on just where the slick moves. High seas preclude any attempt to skim it, soak it up, or burn it. Only when it makes a landfall can countermeasures be taken. At a Senate hearing convened Wednesday night in Boston, a Coast Guard spokesman said the incident happened outside the three-mile limit, leaving the Coast Guard with no jurisdiction to investigate. Earlier, there was a report the ship may have been run onto the shoals purposely, as we hear from CBS News correspondent Fred Graham.
At a news conference, the Coast Guard revealed that it received a telephone call from a man who identified himself as a member of the crew of the sunken tanker. The man said the vessel was deliberately run aground off Nantucket Island and that crew members were ordered not to cooperate with the Coast Guard salvage parties or to use salvage equipment placed on the ship. Rear Admiral William Bankert said the Coast Guard passed the information to Liberian authorities in New York who are investigating the wreck.
We don't have the authority or the responsibility to investigate this. This casualty happened in international waters. It is not in our area of jurisdiction. And we have no direct authority to investigate a casualty as such on a foreign flag vessel in this location any more than we would have 100 miles offshore.
Admiral Benkert said there's no evidence that the crew failed to cooperate with Coast Guard salvage efforts. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
A government report on the growing cost of health care urges against national health insurance or similar proposals. CBS News correspondent Richard Roth has that story.
Acting Director William Lilly of the Council on Wage and Price Stability said the findings are not good news. He said health care costs in America are rising at an annual rate of 18%, and there are no signs of an abatement.
We believe this problem is serious. We think the problem is getting worse. And we think, moreover, that if left to itself, the problem will continue to get worse. In other words, we feel that the medical profession itself cannot solve or discipline this problem.
But Council Director Lilly said proposals for federalization of the health industry through such plans as national health insurance make up what he called a recipe for disaster. Lilly said what the federal government should do is encourage the private sector, industry and labor, to begin policing the medical profession. He said that government doesn't have the incentives to push for lower medical costs, but that business does. Richard Roth, CBS News, Washington.
How does your laxative work? Many brand name laxatives contain ingredients that expand in your stomach. That's how they work. We know a medicine that works differently. It's in the X-Lax pill. Overnight, the X-Lax pill gently stimulates your system's own regular rhythm, stimulates your system for relief in the morning. No surprises, just relief in the morning. That's the X-Lax pill. Try it tonight with confidence. For occasional use only as directed, X-Lax pills.
My name is Greg Mullaney, and I'd just like to add a little extra something to all our holiday gifts and mail. That's by using lots of Christmas seals on them. They add an extra dimension of love and goodwill to our holiday wishes to all of our friends and neighbors. Because Because for 70 years, Christmas seals have been fighting lung disease, air pollution, and smoking. That's what Christmas seals are all about, the defense of our lungs.
Your Lung Association says it's a matter of life and breath. Takeo Fukuda has been elected president of Japan's ruling Liberal Democratic Party, setting the stage for his election as Japan's premier on Christmas Eve. The 71-year-old Fukuda will succeed Premier Takeo Miki, who last week announced his resignation in the wake of the setback suffered by Liberal Democrats in the December 5th general elections. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Kara News Time, 11:06. I'm Grant Nielsen.